In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you lived during the biblical period, if you were an ancient Jew in those centuries covered by the writings of the Old Testament, the last person you ever wanted to see standing at your front door and knocking was a prophet. Prophets were grumpy. God was always asking the prophets to do jobs they rather disliked. Prophets looked a little bit strange. Elijah, for example, was the sort of person who felt very comfortable living off the land in the desert. The prophet Jonah, we know, spent 3 days being digested in the belly of a large fish before being spat out on the shores of Nineveh. And if your day was going poorly, a prophet at your front door meant that things were about to get worse. Take Moses, for example. Wherever Moses, the lawgiver, would go, people would break out into boils. The rivers would turn to blood. The sun would disappear from the sky. Most of all, the prophets were known to be men of God who were full of words that were sharp and harsh, not easy on the ear. Prophets were not the sort of folks who were good at making small talk around the table. And through them, God would challenge and chastise his people. In our Orthodox tradition, we of course teach that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law, but we also teach the scriptural truth that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the prophets. And there are two things that we can mean by this. Of course, we know that the death and the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are the fulfillment of the promises made by the prophets in the Old Testament. We also mean something a little bit more than just that. We also mean that Jesus Christ is the final and complete and perfect prophet. He's the one who reveals the will of God completely and perfectly. And after Jesus, nothing more can be said about God. Nothing more can be revealed about God. And so if Jesus is the most perfect prophet, then we should keep in mind that Jesus also, like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Moses and Jonah, Jesus is someone who may not always be the ideal dinner guest. As a prophet, when Jesus shows up at your doorstep, the news may not always be so good. In recent weeks, for example, we have heard some rather hard words from our Lord. We've heard him say, take up your cross, lose your life, deny yourself. And of course, we heard him say, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And today from the Gospel of Luke, we hear another set of challenges from our Lord. The first verse of our Gospel reading from Luke, we hear our Lord say to his disciples that each of us, you and I, should do to others as we would have them do to ourselves. This we know is the famous golden rule, or a version of the golden rule. And on the surface, the golden rule is something which makes complete sense. It's a pretty reasonable life, one lived by the golden rule, for most folks. But that was the first verse in today's reading. And our Lord, of course, goes on for a total of 5 verses, and Jesus goes on to say some surprising things. First of all, and I think above all, our Lord says, this golden rule, as good as it is, it doesn't go far enough. Those who have been touched by the power and the presence of a loving God are called into a life that is governed by a higher standard. Jesus goes on to say, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? If you love those who love you, if you give to those from whom you hope to receive and do receive, you are no different from those who refuse and reject God's love. He says to us, love those who hate you. Give to those from whom you have no chance, maybe you have even no desire to receive from, and do good to those who in fact don't even care about you. You see, like a good lawyer, our Lord understands that the golden rule has a few loopholes. Turns out, it's not so hard to live by the golden rule if you're smart about it. It's easy, in fact, to do good to others when we surround ourselves with others who are pretty much just like us. It's easy, in fact, to do this when people around us share our backgrounds, our preferences, people who think like us and who make us feel comfortable. These are folks to whom it is easy to lend to pray for, to do good to. But the hard word in Scripture this morning is that this is not the life which our Lord calls us to. Our Lord commands us to give and to love and to be merciful to those who lie and live outside of our comfort zones. In the language of the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel, which we hear so often during the year, our Lord calls us and He gathers us and He blesses us to go forth into the world to baptize and to teach all nations. In Greek, the word is ethnos. Go and teach all the ethnos, all the ethnicities, to observe what the Lord has commanded. These are hard words for us as Christians in this country, this time. But it doesn't take long listening to these words for just a few moments for them to challenge us and to provoke us. And that is the word given to us today. We are a parish with bank accounts and burglar alarms. We're a parish with mounting annual deficits. What does it mean to us to hear from our Lord that we should give and lend without expecting anything in return? Imagine for just a moment that a father, a desperate father, in the middle of the night breaks into the church and he steals the gospel from our altar. If you don't know anything about an Orthodox church, you might think that in terms of monetary value, that gospel has got to be the most valuable thing in the church. Look at the way this church building is set up around it. Our worship life would not be affected. How would our hearts react? Would we be angry? Or would we rejoice? Would we close our doors more tightly in the name of security? Or would we open our doors more widely, giving thanks to God for correcting us and reminding us that our calling is to give without expecting anything in return? We are a parish who cares deeply about honoring where we came from, about how we got here. And we would certainly love to attract more folks who share a similar background. Ministry is always easier, trust me, when you're dealing with the familiar. But what does it mean to you and to me when we are confronted by the fact that so many in our community don't understand us when we say Kyrie eleison, Greek? They don't understand us when we say Gospodi pomiloi, Slavonic. They don't even understand us when we say in English, Lord, have mercy. But they would understand us if we said Señor, ten pieda, or El Padre nuestro, or simply bienvenidos, welcome. We are a parish with buildings and equipment, and used to have volunteers that back in the day could entertain and feed 100 or more at a successful fundraiser. The fact of the matter is, we don't have the manpower anymore. But what does it mean to you and to me when Christ tells us that the people are still hungry? Hungry for food, but also hungry for healing and hungry for the saving knowledge of God's love for this world, for each and every one of us. And that we should give to them, expecting nothing in return. There are no easy answers to these questions, and these are hard questions that fall out of today's gospel reading. But it is good to let these hard words of Jesus do their work. It is good to be challenged by our Lord, because without challenge, we cannot grow. But above all, brothers and sisters, this is the important thing to remember. Whether His words are hard, or whether His words are sweet and comforting, the words of our Lord are always given to us as invitations. Today, our Lord is inviting Him to follow Him more closely, to participate more deeply in His Father's divine work in this world. He says at the end of the reading, "Be merciful, therefore, as your heavenly Father is merciful." In St. Matthew's version of the same teaching, our Lord says something stronger. He says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Brothers and sisters, my prayer is that we hear these words of Christ for what they are. May we receive them as invitations, invitations to fall more and more deeply into the divine presence, to allow it to surround us, to fill us, to hold us up, to become more and more like the Lord God Himself, to be perfect and merciful as He is perfect and merciful, full of love, full of mercy, but most of all, full of power to transform this world and each and every one of us within it. Amen.